Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 1529 here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you so much for being with us this week, for your prayers, for your letters of encouragement, and your support. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. And we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday in a roundabout sort of way. For those of you who weren't able to tune in yet, it's uploaded, by the way. We made our debut, well, the first half hour of our Saturday broadcast that normally goes out, you know, it's an hour-long broadcast on KTW AM 630, is now over the whole network in Central Washington. So we're gradually covering more and more of the American Redoubt, northeastern Oregon, North Idaho, and Central Washington, basically from the Cascades eastward. And that's very exciting. And then, of course, a representative, Dave Taylor, great guy, good friend, and he comes on right after, except there was a little glitch. I think somebody forgot to flip the switch, and I actually, we were both airing at the same time. I was only supposed to be on for a half an hour, and then we switch over and, you know, KTW is the full hour over there, but the first half hour at the ACN network. And it basically drowned him out. So it was like Radio Free Readout for a full hour, and got a lot of positive feedback. But somebody goofed. But normally that's only supposed to be a half an hour, and they had some rain water damage that damaged a fiber optic line, and that's why there was not live streaming for the KTW live stream. So they said that's fixed already. So this coming Saturday, we won't have to worry about that. Hey, and also Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, I'll be on the ACN network filling in for Matt Shea, filling in for Representative Matt Shea. And that's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. Haven't been over on Patriot Radio for a while, but that's going to be a treat. So if you guys want to tune in there, it's of course live streaming on the ACN network, American Christian Network. And yeah, if you're in Central Washington, North Idaho, you can just tune in on one of the many different reflectors and repeaters and stations that they got across the country, or across the state. So what do we got? What do we want to cover here? There's several things I'm going to cover here. That was the main thing that I wanted to touch on. ACN, KTW, looking at my notes. And I guess that they've got this week that's also going to be fixed. The KTBI station out of that covers Wenatchee in Central Washington, that took a hit. That was on 8:10 a.m. That got damaged, and that was down. Actually, they got it up, but it wasn't at full power. But 50,000 watts coming at you across Central Washington out of 8:10 a.m. KTBI. That's going to be operational by this coming weekend. So that's the other thing I was looking at. Still a lot of fires going on, but this rain and cooler temperature is really, really helping get things under control. Also, North Idaho, Oath Keepers, they got an abundance of food distributed to them. If you are part of the fires in Central Idaho or North Central Washington, they have a lot of food. Some of it's perishable. They're looking for where it's needed. If local firefighters and any part of the firefighting effort, if you guys need food, then give me a call. Give me an email. JohnJacob@RadioFreeReadout.com. I'll put you in touch with the folks who've got a lot of an abundance of donated food and support for those that are involved in the firefighting. All right, let's get into the news and commentary. Brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out now, including the audio books about the collapse and the rebuilding. And could we be seeing the beginning of the collapse now? Well, just like in the books, we started to see a social breakdown, the cultural breakdown, cultural collapse. And, well, just listen to the headlines here. We could be at the precipice right now. A riot with over 100 anti-police protesters smashed windows and protested the police in Washington State's capital city of Olympia late Friday. The black-clad protesters, they carried clubs as they marched near downtown Olympia, shouting, "Whoa, F the police." And they said that they were protesting Nazis. "All cops are bastards," they were chanting. Black bloc riots in Olympia. And along those same lines, graffiti calling for violence against police spreads across Texas as well. Hate speech and graffiti calling for violence against cops has spread across Texas. Graffiti has recently appeared in both Austin and Houston, Texas. Violence inflaming statements in Austin proclaim, "Run over cops at traffic stops and shoot them in the cop car." Calls for violence. Because, well, it's got this other story here too. Now, these are blacks, Black Lives Matter. Groups of blacks riot in Olympia. Now, this over here is in Texas. They've got, this is happening all across the country. They're chanting, "Kill police." The Black Panthers are calling for killing police. And listen to this story. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, joins with Black Lives Matter. The Council on American Islamic Relations has joined the Black Lives Matter movement. As Michelle Moons reported, CARE leaders and members joined Black Lives Matter in a march on the California State Capitol on Wednesday, targeting Governor Moonbeam Jerry Brown's office over a new bill, in part would expand bans on racial profiling to include perceived ethnicity. As police officers are being targeted across the nation, CARE has sided with their enemies. That creates a serious problem for CARE's defenders, which argue that its association with Islamic extremism can be overlooked because it helps law enforcement work with and within the Muslim community. Now, isn't this interesting? They've got a little dilemma here. I'll get to that in a little bit later. But right now, CARE is saying that they're legitimate and they are actually working with police to help identify terrorists among their ranks in the Muslim communities in America. So what do? They team up with terrorists, groups that are vowing to murder police officers, run them over, gun them down, and more. There's another story I don't even want to get into. It's over at Black Bart. I mean, Black Bart. Breitbart. Where this group is, they're on this campaign. It's called FTF911, as in F the flag. And they're taking pictures of themselves with their pants down, wiping their butts with the American flag and flipping off the camera. FTF 911. And apparently there was a veteran who got in on this conference call somehow. They called infiltrated to get their statements, to, you know, listen to what they were saying. And they said the stuff that they were going to do to his pregnant wife and then butcher her and cut the baby out and hang it. These are just the most evil, vile, what our culture is coming to. It's wow. If there's ever a time, if anybody ever tells you we don't need assault weapons people don't, citizens don't need those. You just smile and you just go, all right, and walk away. Matter of fact, the way the headlines are going and the violence and the things that people are swearing, promising to do, makes me want to go out and buy another case of ammo if I could afford it. Let's go back up here. These are pretty unstable times. Now, anybody who's a watchman has seen this coming. And you know what? It's just the beginning. So look to the Lord. Keep the faith. Have your sword ready. If you don't have one, sell your cloak and go buy one. And spread the gospel wherever you go. Love people. Be prepared to defend those who are oppressed. The new face of the European Union immigration is young, fit, and overwhelmingly male. That's the headline. What they forgot to add was, and Muslim. They are young, they are fit, they clearly know what they want. They have no intention of staying and fighting in Syria. Instead, they have traveled overland through Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, Macedonia, Serbia, and into Hungary. You guys have seen all this unrest happening in Hungary, right? They say their last stop is Germany. None of them wants to stay in Hungary or any of the countries that they've transited. As one, they see Germany as a future because Chancellor Angela Merkel told them so. This falls into the thanks Merkel category. Just like the thanks Obama category of news stories that we cover, when Obama tells everybody in South America, it's okay to come to America. After all, we're all global citizens and borders really are only theoretical, so come on in. Well, thanks Merkel. Besides, Hungary police, this is what they're saying. Besides, Hungary police want to fingerprint them, check any travel documents, and stop their progress as specified by EU regulations. You mean they're actually, you don't want to stay there because they actually enforce the law, immigration law? They're quoted as saying, no good here in Hungary, no good, said their leader, Muhammad. They try and lock us up, but we want Germany. There it is good. We have to worry about nothing there. They give us food and house and job. Job? Why have a job? They'll give you everything else. You don't need a job. He says, Hungary just want to watch us all the time. You should be watched. You're not citizens. You're Muslims. Coming into Hungary. Invading Europe. All these poor people, they're just trying to make a better life for themselves. This is just like all the people coming from, you know, South American countries through Mexico. They don't want to stay in Mexico. In Mexico, they're watching them. They're fingerprinting them. They're incarcerating them. They want to hurry up and get through Mexico and get to America because there they will give us all this good free stuff. But you watch the footage. These refugees abusing police, throwing food, throwing water away. Food and water that's given to them, they're throwing it away onto the railroad tracks. And in England, they don't get it. No, they do. The people are fed up. 40,000 people signed a petition to stop the immigration. But Cameron, he promises to take thousands more refugees. So all of these nations' leaders are culpable. In this colonization, invasion that is taking place to the Western nations, they are colonizing it with Muslims. And our leaders are facilitating it. You and I, through our tax dollars, are funding it. This is not a refugee resettlement operation. This is colonization. This is very strategic. And we should resist it because it's lawless. And it will bring all these nations to their destruction, including ours. But, of course, you know, like I said, this nation deserves what it's got coming. I don't deserve it. The people I know and love don't deserve it. My family doesn't deserve what's coming to this country. But you know what? This nation deserves what it's got coming. And the Pope says he wants all parishes to take in an immigrant family. First of all, there's not that many families coming. He gives a speech just like this, you know, this poor man looking for work and the young woman trying to take care of the little babies, the suckling babies, as he's trying to make a better life for themselves. But what they don't show you is the train loads of like all men, military fighting age Muslim men. Overwhelmingly overflowing the tracks, the rail cars, walking to Austria so they can make it to Germany. I think, you know, Mr. Pope, why don't you set the example? How about if you take in a Muslim family? I mean, lead from the front. Well, I'm going to take a break. Fox 519 is not with us today. He's in Arizona. Yesterday when I called him, I says, hey, are you going to do an Eye on the Economy Minute today on KTW? And he goes, man, I'm at the Grand Canyon. I'm like, what? I was like a day behind. I knew he was going on a little trip, but that's pretty cool. So he won't be with us this week. He told me to tell you all to pass on his best to everyone, say God bless to everyone, and let's wish him a safe return back to the American Redoubt, get out of occupied territory. And, actually, Arizona is, that's patriot territory, but it's unfortunately just going to be a speed bump when all this collapses and cartels and ISIS decide to start rolling forward. But anyway, hopefully the Lord will keep his hand on him, get him back here safely. All right, we'll be back in a minute. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
I will also ask the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
have to change the meaning of words like religion and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
We do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
All right, segment two, brought to you by Katie Armor. Don't forget to use your coupon code JohnJacob to get your discount on your next order of Katie Body Armor. They also have the soft armor now, and their lead time is less than a week on the orders. Free shipping on all those orders as well. So get in touch with them, Katie Armor. Also, don't forget, you can always email me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And the website, if you're on the go listening to a podcast downloaded version, and maybe you're new, you go to www.radiofreeredoubt.com. That's redoubt with a silent B, R-E-D-O-U-B-T. One of our partisans posted a thought-provoking posting on Facebook. I know a lot of you don't have Facebook, and but it's kind of cool. She asked, what have you been doing lately to get your preps kind of taken to a next level? What have you been doing as basically a reminder. Hey, have you guys thought about your preps? Have you done anything with it lately? And we've got some pretty good responses. Grabbed more gear and the wife did some last canning of veggies. So people are starting to get their canning wrapped up or just starting on it. Another one, updated my good bag, get out of Dodge. Wondering how 2015.75 will shake out. Yeah, the fourth quarter of 2015. Things are going to get interesting here, huh? Another one. Grabbed more gear and the wife did the last canning of veggies. Hey, I just read that one. All right. Speaking of water, one person asks, in what form is everyone stocking up on water? It takes a huge amount of space that we don't have. Well, some people have done a number of different things. Water storage. How do you store? Well, several folks have built small ponds on their property. I can't build a pond on my landlord would freak. Okay. Now others have prepped in plain sight with, I've heard of folks picking up off of Craigslist, those above ground pools that hold like 2000 gallons of water. It kind of serves a dual purpose. The kids get to play in it in the summertime, and you actually have 2,000 gallons worth of potable water there. Of course, you want to filter that, obviously. But that is a great way to store a large amount of water right out in the open. And pool shock treatment is another method for treating large amounts of water. Now, at the Redoubt Ranch, it is difficult to store indefinite amounts of water. But I have about 15 of those 5-gallon water jugs that you put into, you flip upside down and put in the water cooler. And I was actually given about 5 or 6 of those. And plus, I already had 5 or 6 of those. And I think I got them off Craigslist, if I'm not mistaken. They were like practically brand new. But you can have those. You can refill those at most grocery stores. They've got those water jug filling stations. It's super cheap. But I just fill mine out of our well water. And you want to make sure you rotate those. You buy the little caps, snap a new cap back on there, and they stack up nicely with the board. And I got it stored where it can't freeze. We also have a Berkey water filter in the family, one of the large ones. We got several years ago. Also, I keep buckets handy for capturing rainwater from the downspouts. Well, and during rain time, I modify the downspouts so I can fill those up. And then, of course, I built I don't know if I mentioned this before, so maybe not, of course. I built one of those well buckets called a bullet bucket. It's just about the same diameter as the inside diameter of my well pipe. And it's got a little flap, a little rubber flap at the tip of it. It's with a bolt. You can go to YouTube and type in bullet bucket, well bucket. And it's made out of PVC. So I can drop that down, with a 550 cord. It hits the water and the flap opens. It fills it up. I pull it right up. Without electricity, I've got a well bucket. It pulls up about 4 gallons at a time, 3.5 to 4 gallons at a time. So if you have your own well, or if you know where there is a well, take the cap off of that, have a bullet bucket for it, a well bucket. And then finally, we have 2 creeks, one seasonal, about 1/4 mile away, not on our property. And another one's a year-round creek. That's about 1 mile away with the four-wheeler and the ATV trailer and buckets. That's, that's my last final option if I had to, but that's close by, depending on, having fuel for the ATV. It's another option, but hopefully those are just a few ideas that you might be able to just pick up 1 or 2 of those and go, hey, I could do that. And that might help you out. And then lastly, someone sent in a suggestion for Coleman fuel. Aviation gasoline, 100 octane, will work in Coleman lanterns, stoves, etc. Instead of paying $15 per gallon for Coleman fuel, you can get the 100 octane avgas from your local airport from between $4 to $5 a gallon. And you get 5 gallons of fuel for what 1 gallon of Coleman fuel costs, and it works just as well. Avgas stores well also. So thanks for sending that in. Now, yesterday I was talking about I went back into the phases of oppressing a group. You know, the demonization, marginalization, demonization, criminalization, incarceration, blah, 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 right down the line. There's another cycle. When you're looking at your culture, republics and empires falling throughout history. I was reminded this afternoon by a partisan who emailed this to me, and I hadn't looked at this for quite a while. It's called the Teitler Cycle Revisited. The Teitler Cycle, it's Alexander Teitler. He wrote an article, he's a Scottish historian, about the cycle that nations go through. And here's his theory, which is actually not very theoretical. Actually, we see it playing out over and over. Teitler's theory set forth a cycle that every democracy goes through, which goes like this. Teitler said that the cycle starts out with a society in bondage. Then it goes in this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, to courage, then to liberty, then abundance, then selfishness, then complacency, then apathy, then dependence, and then the cycle starts over again with bondage. Now, on this cycle, this circle, we are over on the right side. You have spiritual faith, courage, liberty, abundance, and then you start drifting back over at the bottom of the circle, back over on the left side, with selfishness, complacency, apathy, dependence, and then bondage again. Now, depending on what part of our culture you're in, many are already in bondage. Many are in the dependence mode. Unfortunately, a lot of the conservative, even Christian patriots, are in complacency and apathy. That's where they are. That's where we are. The bulk of our nation are in complacency and apathy. So this author who wrote about this Teitler cycle, he said, I was fascinated with this because to me it seemed to explain what we are going through as a country right now, where people are more interested in how they can somehow soak the system to get their free ride than building anything. Clearly, we are on the left side of this cycle, somewhere in the selfishness, complacency, apathy, or dependence cycle. Recently, I found an article entitled An American Tragedy, dated in 2008, December, by James Quinn, a financial writer and a senior director. This is actually, that's the article that I originally came across this in. He's a writer and senior director of strategic planning for a major university. Most of the article is about disgraced investment guru Bernie Madoff, but a good chunk of it concerns the Teitler cycle and exactly where Quinn thinks we are in the cycle. Here's what he has to say. The following quote attributed to Scottish history professor Alexander Teitler in 1787 seems to portray an accurate reflection of what has occurred during our 200 plus years of existence as a democracy. Talking about America here. I quote, "A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover they can vote for themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship." Long pause. Okay, this is for reflection. This is reflection time on what I just said. I'm letting it sink in. I don't really participate in debates with people, Facebook debates, but this county clerk getting arrested, somebody gets on, she should be arrested. And I'm like, oh, no, throw her in jail because she's making up her own laws. I couldn't help myself. I said, she's not making up her own laws. She's following the law, the higher law. It's the judge who's making up his own laws. So this led to this little tit for tat back and forth. And he says, "You must be some kind of idiot. Don't you believe in democracy?" And, of course, he was losing the debate. When that's when they start, they revert to personal attacks. I said, "No, of course not. I believe in a constitutional republic, which is what this great nation was before democracy ruined it, destroyed it. The founding fathers knew enough to say even that democracy only lasts for a short time and it leads to suicide of a nation." So this writing here isn't anything new, but will we learn? Oh, only for a little while. A few people will know and they'll pass it on to others, and a few others will listen, but the rest, they're in apathy. Doesn't affect me. Who cares what happens over in Iran? What are we going to do this weekend? Did we get the pay-per-view? It's all self-absorption. While your nation is robbed from you all around you because you're not paying attention. Bread and circuses. It's all about bread and circuses. And anybody in Rome would agree. We'll be back in a minute.
I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this is America, and a country boy's good enough for me, son.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. Resist DC, a step-by-step plan for freedom. That was the article published last week all over the internet from the 10th Amendment Center website to lewrockwell.com. So why a plan? People like Glenn Beck have done a great job identifying the many problems facing our country. Groups like the 912ers and Tea Parties have put government on notice to cease and desist the wild spending and bold attempts to transform these United States to socialism. The protests and even the state sovereignty resolutions have been outright ignored, though. So now it's time to move from protest to action. Well, this summer, legislators from several states got together and formulated a five-step plan. That's 5 steps and 10 bills. First, we must reclaim state sovereignty through key pieces of nullification legislation, such as nullifying a national cap-and-trade system or socialized health care. Second, we must erect an impenetrable barrier around the Second Amendment and the county sheriff. Third, we must restore sound and honest money. Fourth, if the state legislatures across the country refuse to pass the sovereignty legislation, then the people will, through the initiative process. The bills are even pre-drafted and on the internet. Fifth, the people need to approach the county sheriff and have him or her reaffirm their oath to protect and defend the Constitution. That's the plan. It's that simple. And if the legislatures won't pass it, the people will. This isn't about party politics or violent overthrow of the government. It's about freedom. It's about restoring a God-honoring constitutional republic. At least, that's the way I see it. For more information, please go to the 10th Amendment Center's website and read the article entitled Resist DC, a Step-by-Step Plan for Freedom. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
Segment 3 here at Radio Free Redoubt. And we are bringing, we are bringing this segment to you because Selkirk Mountain Real Estate made it possible. I got a really cool testimony. Somebody was saying that their in-laws are up in North Idaho looking for property and actually met the owners of Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. And they're like, man, these guys are sold out patriots. I mean, they are for the cause, and they are for the redoubt. They are all in. I'm like, these guys are real patriots. I'm not kidding. These guys are the real deal. And they specialize in helping other like-minded, God-fearing patriots get relocated to the American Redoubt. If you got your eyes set on the northern part of the Idaho Panhandle, they will definitely take good care of you and their God-fearing patriots. Now, yesterday on the show, I mentioned we are now seeing a new class of criminal in the U.S., and that is the law-breaking, defiant, disobedient Christian patriot who fears the Lord more than they do man. And yesterday I talked about the article that I wrote, Occupied America, the Shock and Awful Yet to Come, that I posted back in June. That's what went through that cycle: marginalization, demonization, criminalization. And of course, we're in the criminalization, and we're straddling between the criminalization and the incarceration stages. And we're going to see more, and we're going to see more of this. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. I talked about the sheriff that was arrested a couple of years ago for refusing to enforce an unconstitutional law that violated the Second Amendment, who was arrested and physically removed from office by the governor. Now, the sheriff was obviously, he was reinstated after that. He had to fight for it, but he was reinstated. But we're going to see more and more of this in the future. And right now, there is a judge that is being investigated by a judicial fitness commission to see if he's fit to continue ruling as a judge because he refused to, he decided to stop performing weddings altogether. So they can't say he's discriminating. And just like this county clerk in this county, so I'm not going to discriminate. Straight or homosexual, we're just not going to perform any marriages whatsoever. So there's no discrimination. But they can't stand that. They don't like that little step around our plan tactic. We need you to embrace and condone and participate, help advance sexual deviancy from an official level, from a government level. I mean, because it has to be an institutionalized endorsement of sexual deviancy for this to, you know, really for this to work. And you guys refusing to do this is just not, you're not helping. So we're going to have to throw you in jail. We're going to have to remove you from the bench. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. These are the beginning birth pangs of this monster that's trying to give birth in our country. I want to refer you to prepare you for the times ahead. There's a scripture I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians 6:4. We are God-fearing patriots, right? Okay. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and in hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Remember that. That's 2 Corinthians 6:4. Write that on the tablet of your heart, because it's things like this that are going to help us get through the times ahead. Remember, above and beyond anything else, this is a spiritual war against powers of this earth, powers of the darkness. That's primarily where our battles are. Don't ignore this battle while you're preparing, you know, while you're cleaning your M4. You have to be engaged in both. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Do your job, county clerk. Do your job, judge. Do your duty. What is your duty? This is the whole duty of a man, to fear the God and fear God and keep his commandments. Does that help? Does that kind of help clarify things when they're trying to tell you what your job is, what your duty is? Deuteronomy 10:12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways?" Unless you're at work, unless you're a county clerk, then you fear God all the way to work, and then you just like drop it at the door. And then you succumb to the world's ways, the same world that's declared war on God. Then you bend and you capitulate to the world's standards. The world is going to be facing his judgment. And so will we, all alone. And we're not going to be able to point and say, but they made me do it. They told me I had to. They told me I was going to go to jail if I didn't. They were going to write bad things about me on Facebook if I didn't. Walk in all his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, remember what I said yesterday? Martin Luther King, he said, "An individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and who willingly accept the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law." This is good stuff. This has definitely aroused the conscience of the community. Going to jail is exactly the right thing to do in this case. There's cases and there's times when we need to rally around, like the Bundy Ranch situation, where patriots stood toe-to-toe and they were armed, prepared to resist, to stand against tyranny, because they had exhausted all other recourse. There was no other option. There were no other options. There was no reasoning with them. It came down to potentially using force to secure liberty. But there's a time and a place for everything. And in this case, the best thing that could have happened for this county clerk is to make the tyrant look and act like the tyrant that it is and go to jail. This is what I was saying. Look, look, all the time that you wish you had to do all the reading you'd like to do, now she's got it. She's not being harmed. And look at what's happening, the backlash that's happening. They look like the tyrants that they are. And bless her. Hey, how many of the disciples went and sat in prison who actually did face danger while they're in prison? This is nothing. This is nothing. Nothing. And her reward is going to be great, no matter what the world says. I do want to mention, timing is everything. This is the timing. Timing, you want to adopt the tactics and the strategies that fit the current conditions. This would not have been a good situation for militias to be gathering around, circling the courthouse and saying, "You're not going to take her to jail." No, 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 no. This case, she goes to jail. This works. She's not being hurt. This, strategically, the best thing that could have happened was for her to go to jail. Remember when I was talking about back in the series, the coming underground? okay, now is the time to be arrested for things like that. Because that's not what the adversaries wanted. You want to force the tyrant to act like the tyrant that they are. Remember last year when the Coeur d'Alene pastor and his wife, they consulted the city about this homosexual couple that wanted to be married at their hitching post little marriage facility, their marriage business? And they said, yeah, you would be in violation. And in fact, that is a misdemeanor and you face fines and imprisonment up to 6 months. Oh, now, when that hit the press, they had that, oh, shoot moment when they realized they stepped in it, right? I mean, we're talking about a pastor. This blew up and went national, right? So the city, the leftists, the homosexual militants, they start backpedaling, trying to figure out how does it look? The best thing that could have happened if that pastor would have been arrested. They don't want to arrest a pastor for not marrying a homosexual couple. For us, for the movement, for the long haul, for the psychological impact of that, the effect of that, the exploitation value of that, from our perspective, the best thing that could have happened to him would be to be arrested. They're not going to string him up. They're not going to hang him. He's just going to go there and he's going to get three hots and a cot. And he's going to finally have time to do all the reading he's been wanting to do. And while this fury and frenzy and storm is going on the outside, right? It awakens people. This has a chilling effect on their aggressive tactics. When they blow it, when they do something like throw somebody who's standing for their faith, who's standing against immorality, you throw them in jail, the backlash has a chilling effect on their just open, arrogant aggression. It rouses the public to action, including pastors. Remember, we're in the apathy stage right now. Anything to snap people out of apathy helps us. It awakens people. How many Christian patriots have been awoken in the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, who were completely in the apathy phase, that are now motivated to action? They're fully self-reliant. They're prepared. Their family's not going to starve to death. If an invisible force field was put around their home, they could eat. They could take care of their needs for a year. They're not going to rely on somebody else. They're prepared for what's coming. They're involved in assemblies. They are now involved in the political process. Some of them are now running for office in various positions. They are engaged because of the tyrant being exposed for who he really is. They got so bold, their sneaky little plan of trying to sidestep the system and working different angles, just kind of sneaking up on people. Well, they got so bold, they just stood up and just started walking forward with their agenda, waving their banner in the air, and that got people's attention. Now, in the future, we're going to have to change tactics. This is what I didn't really emphasize enough, perhaps, in the coming underground series. There's a time when you don't want to go to jail because bad things will happen and you will probably never be seen again. Right? At some point in the future, that's when we start going from that incarceration to extermination phase. Now, once an emergency happens, it could be a natural disaster, it could be an EMP attack, whatever. It's going to be a magnitude of a disaster that authorities or people, even with any kind of quasi-authority, will be able to justify to themselves and to each other drastic measures that they will take because it's an emergency. Rules will go out the window because it's an emergency. And that's not the time that you want to be all Mr. Liberty activist guy. You want to appear neutral. We're not there yet. We should be fighting for liberty right now. But just remember, there's a time you're going to have to make that switch. When they have curfews in place, all right, you want to be in place by curfew. You don't want to be standing on the street corner going, I'm a free citizen. I don't have the right to be out here on the street. I don't have to be in the curfew. You know, okay, whoop, into the van you go. Bye, bye-bye, never seen again. But you got your rights, right? You're going to let them know. You go through a checkpoint. You don't want to be sitting there with your window like rolled down like a quarter of an inch. I don't have to answer any questions. I don't answer police's questions. You don't have the right to stop me. Boop, disappear into the van. Bye-bye. Okay, there's a time when you might want to just appear jovial, cooperative. Hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, there's my driver's license. Hey, what's up? Hey, guys, be safe, all right? Thanks for doing what you're doing, keeping us safe. All right, have a good night. Bye-bye, right? You may want to avoid eye contact or interaction with enforcement entities, people that are looking for threats. Sanitize your vehicle, your Gadsden flag, your clothing. You don't want to appear military or militant, rather. You may want to even appear beaten down or subdued. No threat. There's a certain time for that. And everybody who's lived under a police state, I mean full-on police state martial law environment, especially in other countries, they will tell you that. You don't want to look like you're going to challenge them or you're a threat to them at all, especially with the powers that they've given themselves. The rules will change and we'll have to adapt. And our the type, style, level, resistance on our end will adapt as well. So anyway, I just want to give you a few things, thoughts to ponder. That wraps up part 3. We'll come back with part 4 in episode 1529, Radio Free Readout, here in just a minute. So stick around. Don't touch that mouse.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if 3/4 of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
The voice of the American Readout. Radio Free Readout.
Segment 4, John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com. And don't forget to check out 419systems.com. Speaking of prepping, it's sometimes things get strewn around and unorganized. And you can't remember where this is and where did I put this up in the attic and is this in the shop? Is that in the pantry? Did I run this over to my brother's place and put it in his shop? What's the expiration dates? What do we even got over there? Now we got to go over there and spend the weekend trying to dig through everything because we don't even know what we have or when, this expired like 2 years ago. The peanut butter's rancid. Okay, you want to keep track of all that stuff? 419systems.com. 419systems.com. It's a way to keep track of all your preps, including your expiration dates, everything related to it. Your medicine expirations, your bug out routes, your locations, all of this stuff. It's a total management system. 419systems.com, the Prepper's Assistant. Now, remember when I said the tactical situation is going to dictate your course of action. You got to have situational awareness. What are we up against in this country? Let's assess the current conditions. Right now, the headlines are reading, clerk arrested for defying a Supreme Court order. She wasn't defying, she was obeying. She was obeying God's law that says, fear the Lord and do his commandments. And you know what? If somebody's saying, but she's an official, when we have official level evil prescribing godlessness, we got a serious problem. And that should be resisted within every fiber of our being on every level. Because we haven't resisted, we are here in this situation where a Christian woman working within our local government can be arrested for not participating and condoning and even justifying sexual deviancy, not complying with the state level endorsement of it. We got a serious problem on the most fundamental levels. But you want to know where we are, situational awareness. Where are we at in our culture? How do the people feel about this? Are the people outraged? Yes, some of them are. But we're seeing a disturbing trend. I've mentioned this before. Whenever you see an article about Christian homeschooling, the homosexual agenda, wherever, go into the comments section. You want to get the pulse on how the American public feels about something. Go to the comments section where people feel very free to voice what's in their hearts. In this particular case, I mean, I've seen some just, I mean, downright vile statements against this woman, against Christians, against God. It's pretty scary to see where we have sunken to as a culture where the sentiments are so widespread among people in the culture. And then, of course, they go on personal attacks. She does look like she is always angry inside. I wonder if she really believes her convictions or if she's just digging her heels in now. Either way, ugly isn't just on the outside. She is ugly as F on the inside also. So much hate in this woman. This is how libtards' brains work, right? Where they're accused, they're guilty of the thing they're accusing her of. There's no hate in her. We all know that. We've heard her talk. She wants these people to be saved. They are separated from God, right? So she wants the best for them, but she's just not going to comply with evil. So this person says this hateful thing about her and then resorts to attacking her looks. She's ugly. And then says there's so much hate in that woman. But you know what? Maybe it's good that she's not a beauty queen. But so what? Can you imagine if she was attractive, the things that they would be saying about her? I mean, look at the stuff that they said about Sarah Palin. She's beautiful. That's a good looking woman. That is a handsome woman. And the stuff that the left, the liberals were saying about her was just appalling. The sexual things that they said that they were going to do to her and her daughters. And accusing her of hate. That's why they hate her so much, because she has so much hate. We're living in a twisted world. But you know what? Here's something that I'm reminded of in 1 Peter 3:3-4. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. This woman is beautiful and very precious because of her gentle and quiet spirit. I've seen her. I've seen the videos. I've seen her being attacked, and I've seen her gentle, quiet spirit. But you know what? She was firm and she was resolute. She was going to please God and obviously feared God more than man. That's a beautiful woman. There's only side here, and that's following federal law. What could possibly trump that? One other statement said, there is only one side here, and that's following federal law. What could possibly trump that? I will tell you, Mr. Uninformed Ignorant One, what could trump federal law is a state constitution. If the governor had any testicular fortitude to protect his state and the Constitution and not just at the pen stroke of a judge turn around and tell everybody, well, I guess gave an opinion, so I guess, well, let's erase. Anybody get an eraser? Get rid of our Constitution. Fail. That's a fail, governor. You failed. Governor Butch Otter, Idaho, fail. The governor in Kentucky, fail. You failed. If anybody needs to resign and step down, it's you, because you took an oath to protect and defend your Constitution. Fail. Another one. Nobody cares about your opinion on what's moral or not. And you can put that in your biblical teaching. You can put your biblical teachings up your, well, these people deserve the right to be legally recognized as a couple, and you should keep your opinions in church where they belong. You wish. Our biblical opinions in church, if we really, we don't have opinions, we have convictions. That means we act on our beliefs. They're not just opinions. I think she should be incarcerated for at least 10 years so that she sets the example that the U.S. will not stand for bigotry, especially from government officials. With this law, we could quickly get rid of conservatives. Yeah. Okay. In our country, as I wrap up here, we're converging on a few different potential outcomes. This is the trajectory that we're on. First, the first one, if no outside influences, is tyranny and oppression against conservative Christian patriots and anything that represents godly standards, along with the loss of liberty, the increasing government control, the dissolving of a functioning republic, which we've already seen, turning it into a democracy, which is mob rule. So nothing else interferes. We are just heading toward full-blown tyranny of, I'm talking Stalin-level era, Nazi Germany era, name the rest. There's a whole litany of them. That's where we're headed. The other thing, the other potential outcome is judgment on our nation. And as Christians, we believe that God is a just God and he's not going to be mocked forever. So when his justice does come, there will be judgment on our nation, because that's how we've seen him handle his people when they rejected him or declared war on him outright. And that can come, we've seen that come in the form of droughts, fires, floods, superstorms, tornadoes, civil unrest, violence, social, cultural, moral, economic collapse, and ultimately an invasion and being subdued by foreign nations. That's our future. At least if we're going to follow, you know, God's pattern for how he dealt with his people when they rebelled against him in the past. I've heard some people say, you know, hey, by all... This is what I had a conversation with somebody that said, I'm working with some intelligence, former intelligence and current intelligence personnel, and there are indicators here all over the place that we are facing an invasion by the outside. There are at least two governments right now that are for all practical purposes preparing for an invasion. This is pre-invasion preparation that's taking place. on a military scale that's mind-blowing. All the indicators are there. We feel like we have to warn people. My response to that is, you can put the information out there, but this culture will not accept it. They're not going to accept. Now, I've been saying this for a long time. Look, this is how God deals with his people. He stunned them when it happened, and they were turned over to their enemies. They went into captivity by foreign invading military. So if you're seeing that, if your intelligence indicators are pointing to that, then you know what? You're just, and naturally you're going to see it at some point. If God's going to deal with us how he's always dealt with his people before, that's what we're going to see. Now, here's the other thing too. He said, we're going to fight. We already talked about it, and we are going to fight. And that's an honorable thing. But if you fight, if we are turned over to an enemy that invades and attacks the United States, that is a judgment from God on this nation. If you fight against that, you will lose. You are fighting against God's judgment. They are there, and they are going to prevail. That's how it works. In fact, I didn't have time to go back and study it. I don't remember if it was the Syrians or the Babylonians. When they came in to take Judah or Israel, they even, you know, went to their prophets, said, oh, we should fight, we should go up against them, the Lord will be with us. And they were said, no, not this time, sorry. Because of your obedience, you will go into their hands tomorrow. And this nation will go into bondage. Your homes will be taken, your belongings will be taken, the king will be taken or killed. You're going to lose. This is judgment. It's over. There's no fighting. There's no calling on the Lord. It's past the 11th hour. You had your chance. And this is what's going to happen. You're not going to go up against them. You're going to go into captivity. And that's it. And they did. Not enough people cared enough, early enough, to fight the enemies within. And now they have the full the enemy, the adversary in America, the enemies within have full operational control over the government, the media, the education system, the healthcare system, the legal system, and the minds of the culture who are themselves turned against God. There's a remnant here. And Christians are waking up. And we hope for a reset. We're not going to overthrow the government. Our chance to be engaged is gone. They're so deeply entrenched now. All we can hope for now is that God brings it down. We're not going to. We're not anti-government. We're not going to. This is God's battle. This is his territory. So, if there is a, you know, total collapse, including politically, there will be several competing systems that would emerge. I'm talking, if God drops the hammer on this country and takes down our government, his hand, like he's done before, like unseats a government, instant, bam, and the whole world's stunned when they see it happen. There will be a void temporarily, and there will be several competing systems that would emerge in each region. The dominant two systems in each region will struggle for final control, just like every other empire that's fallen. When the Roman Empire fell, the Byzantine Empire fell, the British Empire crumbled and broke into pieces, just on and on, Persian Empire, okay. When it finally collapsed, there was almost always two main primary dominant systems vying for control. What eventually became all these different little countries, but within each of these countries, there were these battles. And there would be the system being exerted from the outside forces. whether it's foreign or multinational bodies. In this, in our case, it would be a globalistic type of body intervention to try to get things stabilized again. And they would have control over what type of government is inserted and established. The other force would be the dominant system representing the demographic majority in each region. Okay, so where there's no meaningful organized system in place to assert itself, the outside influence will dominate. They will prevail, and the people will go along with it for food, for security, for aid and relief, for being reunited with families or anything they have emotional ties with, for promises of restoration to a normal lifestyle. Of course, the lie will be, just do what we say, and we'll get everything. The sooner you comply with our program here, the sooner we can get things back to the way it used to be. But it never is the way it used to be. And of course, it's always temporary. This is just temporary to see us through the crisis. So go with our plan. The outside forces, outside influences will be telling the people. We would have to make a very serious decision. And not just a decision. If we're confronted with this, with a total reset, total collapse, you have to make a decision of what type of society or culture, morals, values, and system of government we want it to look like. And the second thing would be, how badly do you want that, and at what price? Because others are already planning on the rebuilding. They're not just going to let you decide how you want it to be. There will be conflicting solutions offered to the public. If you have no solution, where do you think they're going to turn? To what degree are you willing to allow conflicting ideologies to rule alongside you? Incompatible ideologies. CARE and Black Lives Matter are joining forces against the California government for a time. Remember, CARE is based on a theocratic Muslim-based ideology. Black Lives Matter is driven primarily under the surface by communist-based organizations. These two are incompatible. If they join forces, at some point, the oil and the water is going to separate and there's going to be a conflict. But right now, their primary objective is the California state government to get their agenda. You have judges ruling to protect and advance Islam, and the same judge ruling and advancing the homosexual agenda. Two things that are completely incompatible with one another, and both of which, or at least one of which, will turn on that judge at some point in the future. If we're ever blessed with the chance to choose what type of culture or nation or laws or values and morals that we want to adopt as a nation in the future, and we want to be prosperous, I want to refer you to Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14. This is our standard that we should, if you want to prosper, this is the ingredients and nothing less. You can't water it down. You can't pick and choose and replace some parts and not others. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. In the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you, the Lord will open up the heavens and storehouses of his bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Now, that's when it changes. This is when it says, but if you do not, this is what's going to happen. And I want you to go read that for yourself. Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 15. Read the whole thing. If we ever get the opportunity and the blessing of a reset and a start, and it's up to us, and we have a say among his remnant, if we're protected, if he gives us that, we need to have a plan, and we have to have a standard, a moral standard that we stand on and accept nothing less, because people are going to come along, they're going to try to water it down, and the cycle will begin all over again. So anyway, with that, you have a blessed week. Hope I gave you plenty to think about. This is John Jacob Schmidt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. And I will talk to you next week. Good night.